The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
And welcome to a special edition of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One and streaming on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/TheUnderdog. You get a lot of content there. I am going to be playing my initial three game plans. I think those are going pretty well, both in YouTube, and I think we're getting a lot more interaction too here with the people that listen to the show. So this initial crop of game plans, and I will be adding more on the YouTube station as we progress through the weekend. The initial crop of the game plan starts with Ravens, Bills, San Francisco versus New Orleans, and Tennessee versus Oakland. Now I'm going to be coming back talking about the LA Rams versus the Seahawks on YouTube. I'll be doing, I think, Kansas City, New England on YouTube. And then maybe one more. I don't know if I'm going to be doing, you know, Pittsburgh versus Arizona. I'm kind of waiting to see what the user engagement is on my other videos. So it could be Denver, Houston, basically whatever the most popular is on YouTube. I'm going to take that and think that that's going to extend to the audience as well. But either way, so this episode includes three game plans. Let's just go ahead and get rolling. First one on the list is Tennessee versus Oakland. So I hope you enjoy that. We'll be back soon. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Game Plan. This is all about the Tennessee Titans versus the Oakland Raiders. If you are new to this show, here's what I do. I quickly run through the key injuries. I quickly run through the key stats, the key analytics. I sometimes call those the gambler stats. We put that together and put a game plan, a path to victory for both the Titans and the Raiders, and then we finish it out with fantasy and daily fantasy projections. A lot of you are in playoffs, a lot of you play daily fantasy, and I have you covered. Now, I do want to remind everybody, I am not a fan of either team. I was raised a Redskins fan. I am no longer a Redskins fan for reasons I will not go into here, but I come with no bias, either positive or negative. So let's just go, you know, I call it like I see it. I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody, I'm not trying to prop anybody up. I'm just calling it like I see it because I like to bet on NFL games, and I know a lot of you out there do too. With no, before we get started here, if you could give me 2 seconds of your time for two clicks, a like and a subscribe, that stuff helps us grow. The more we grow, the cooler we can make these videos. We've now finally reached a YouTube partnership. Thanks to out there for everybody's support. You know, it's been really, really good, fun ride these last couple of months in the NFL season, and we have a lot of really cool stuff in store. So please help us grow, like, and subscribe. That will really help us out. But now let's dig in, as I always do, with the key injuries. And you see some big names on these injury reports here for the Titans. Derrick Henry, he's questionable, although I anticipate him playing. AJ Brown, questionable. Humphreys, questionable. Jones, questionable. Jackson, questionable. For the Raiders, Jacobs. So basically the two star running backs here are both questionable. Hunter Renfrow is out. That is a very significant injury, in my opinion, for the Raiders. We'll talk about that in a bit. Hudson, Jackson, Brown, basically the entire right side and middle of the offensive line for the Raiders, questionable, although they've been banged up all year. I think they'll play. And then Joiner at free safety, they're going to need him in the lineup. Let's get into the key stats. And I like to put position group versus position group, so just so it is easily compared. And you see the 27th ranked passing offense for the Titans versus the 26th ranked passing defense for the Raiders. Something's got to give. Is Tennessee going to break through? Is Oakland going to shut it down? We'll see. What I will say is Tennessee has been a lot better since Tannehill has taken over quarterback. I've been talking them up. I've been betting them. They're one of my favorite teams, along with the Raiders. And actually, this is a really good time for me to say, I actually believe that this is a play-in game for the AFC playoffs, okay? I know that these teams right now are numbers 7 and 8 in the playoff chase. Oakland is 6 and 6. Tennessee is 7 and 6. I think the loser of this game might go home, okay? Certainly if the Raiders lose, they're out of it. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in 6th. I have their schedule in front of me right now. They play the Cardinals. It's a winnable game. Then they have the Bills and the Ravens, two of their last three games, and the Jets, who aren't as bad as advertised. I think that the Steelers could drop one or maybe even two of those games. I really believe that the winner of this game, the Titans and the Raiders, could make the playoffs and will make the playoffs. So I think this is a huge huge game. Let's see, the Raiders pass offense is 15th versus the 27th ranked passing defense. Again, you see these two passing defenses, they have not played good throughout the season. And by the way, these rankings are in terms of yardage accumulation throughout the year. Run offense for the Titans, 9th. Run offense for the Raiders, 10th. And the run defense is 10th and 11th. So they're basically right there. They're very similar in terms of run defense. They're very similar in terms of pass defense. If you're going to give an advantage, I would say that the Raiders have the advantage in terms of passing offense. Although I do think the Tennessee Titans' ranking of 27th is artificially low. That's coming with a lot of Marcus Mariota data. Like I said, things have been getting better and better with Ryan Tannehill as the starter in Tennessee. Now let's talk about the key analytics. Long story short, people that bet professionally look at a number of things, but they like to look at the key analytics that talk about yards per play, both offensively and defensively. How efficient are you in key situations like third and fourth down? Can you score touchdowns once you get in the red zone? If you can stay on the field, can you punch it in, or are you taking field goal opportunities? And then, of course, your discipline. You know, how many times do you turn the ball over a game? How many penalty yards? And if we look and just compare these, the Tennessee Titans average 5.6 yards offensively, while the Raiders give up 5.9. Now, it's kind of similar, actually. The Raiders get 5.9 offensively, whereas the Titans give up 5.4. So if you look at that, the Titans are at a plus 0.2 in terms of net differential, and the Raiders are even. So that advantage goes very slightly, mind you, but it does go to the Tennessee Titans. Third down percentages, the Titans are bad at 34%. That has to improve, obviously, for them to win. The Raiders are at 45.3. I think this has been improving, you know, here and there. But what this tells me is that John Gruden is a better play caller in key situations than Tennessee's offensive coordinator. And I think that, you know, anybody kind of a casual fan could come in here and I could see them, you know, basically being able to guess that coming in. Fourth down, you look at it again, the Titans offensively 27%. That's not good. Raiders 64%. So advantage Raiders there, in my opinion. Red zone touchdowns. Now, the Titans, 71%. That's a pretty damn good touchdown percentage in the red zone. It's almost like a video game number. It's pretty good. Meanwhile, you know, the Raiders have a good percentage at 57.5%. And teams that can run the ball well, you know, you have the Raiders, you have Jacobs, you have the Titans, you have Derrick Henry. They tend to do well in red zone conversion percentage in terms of touchdowns. But let's look at defensively. Both of them are giving up touchdowns two-thirds of the time. Advantage to me goes to the Titans there. Turnovers, the Titans are better. They're on the plus side. Oakland's on the negative penalty yardage. Although I don't love either of these particular stats, I have to say the Raiders are pretty bad. 76.1 yards per game given up in penalties. That's like, you know, basically a quarter of a team's offense, maybe even a fifth of a team's offense weekly. That's no good. You know, basically that means, you know, Oakland, I think their youth, I think that just means that they're making costly mistakes and they need to cut down on those in this game. So when I look at these, when I was coming into this game, the line was Tennessee Titans -3 at Oakland. Okay. You know, Oakland coming in there with the home crowd. Yeah, I know they're banged up. I thought, you know, Tennessee's playing a lot better. And yes, I know we have a lot of Marcus Mariota data feeding this, but as I look at it today, I have to say the Raiders actually stack up analytically a lot better. You know, for me, if you factor in the injuries, you factor in the yards per play, you factor in, most crucially here, the third and the fourth down conversion percentage. You know, I know, yes, the Titans have a better scoring percentage in the red zone in terms of touchdowns, but I got to say analytically, I actually like the Raiders. So, you know, I feel like maybe -3 was a little bit too much. I still kind of favor by a sliver, but I'm telling you, these are two very, very underrated teams. I really like both teams. As a bettor, I got to say I'm very disappointed because I enjoy betting both of these teams. And the Raiders are coming off two losses. Now, I wouldn't grade those as bad losses. I think the Jets was an easy one to lose. It was a sloppy game in terms of weather, and it was a trap game. You know, a lot of people were kind of looking down on the Jets. The Raiders traveling across country to take that team on. The young team, you know, they probably thought they were going to walk all over them, and they ended up getting walked all over in that game. Now, Kansas City facing Andy Reid off of a bye week, that's always going to be tough. You know, and it just is what it is, right? The Raiders, you know, got basically run through in both of those games, but I think they'll bounce back. I don't think that's, you know, basically going to last on anymore. I don't think that Gruden's going to lose this locker room. I think this Oakland crowd, we're in the last quarter of the season. I think they're going to be jacked up, and I think the Raiders are going to come to play. I love the Raiders. If they're playing, you know, most other teams in the league, I would love the Raiders this week, but the Titans are going to be very similarly ready to play. They are going to be similarly desperate. Both of these teams need this win to make the playoffs, and this is just going to be an old-school slug match. I do think that Henry and Jacobs will play. They will both get a lot of carries, but let's talk about the game plans, the paths to victory. victory. Let's start with the Tennessee Titans. I mentioned third down conversion percentage. That has to improve. I think Tannehill will improve that number slowly for the Titans, the season-long number, but it has to be a lot better than basically one-third of the time. The Raiders are going to stack the line to try to stop Derrick Henry. It's no secret that's exactly what they're going to do. You know, the Raiders' passing defense, although it's ranked like 26th in the league, they have been improving as of late, but Ryan Tannehill needs to test them and make them pay. You know, you need to keep that that strong safety honest. You need to keep him out of the box. Oakland's been much better as of late. Tennessee still needs to test them. I was mentioning before, specifically A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. Test them early and often. Obviously, shut down Josh Jacobs defensively. Derek Carr is probably going to bounce back this week. I think statistically he'll have a nice game. You know, they need to basically take their chances with Derek Carr. I think with, you know, I was looking at the matchups and the play charting. Tennessee, they struggled in primary coverage. So Terrell Williams figures to have a good game. Now, schematically, I would take my chances with Terrell Williams, maybe cover him, you know, put my weaker cornerback and cover him with a safety cover too, bend, don't break kind of stuff. And then, you know, I think Waller with Hunter Renfrow out is going to be a key in the game for the Raiders. You have to shut down the middle of the field. That was kind of Hunter Renfrow territory, and he was really coming along well. So I think it's Darren Waller. I kind of feel like he's the key to this Raiders victory moving forward. But speaking of the Raiders victory, my path to moving forward is obviously let's get Josh Jacobs involved. You know, I know he's banged up. Get him involved, run with him. Gruden will be patient with him. But Derek Carr, similar to Ryan Tannehill, you got to test this secondary early. They're ranked 27th. They're worse ranked than the Oakland Raiders are in pass defense. Test them. You know, Terrell Williams, if you can't get him there, throw it to Zay Jones, throw it to Keelan Doss, throw it to one of these other guys. Renfrow, by the way, that injury I referenced before, you need to get somebody over the field. I feel like, you know, maybe Rashard, moving on to my third point here and kind of merging these two together, I think Rashard and Washington out of the backfield are going to be big. I think they're going to be, you know, daily fantasy type sleepers, budget plays. You know, I was mentioning before, Darren Waller really has to stretch the middle of this field. I think he's going to be key. He has to win his match. Matchup. I do have a good projection on him this week, fantasy-wise. Zay Jones, that fourth point there, he's got to step up. The Raiders made the move. They got him. They need to get him involved deep, okay? He needs to show up. And if not him, Keelan Doss or whoever at wide receiver, somebody needs to take some pressure off of Terrell Williams because lately defenses are just shutting him down, you know, taking their medicine a little bit with Josh Jacobs. Jacobs is having these, you know, 20 carries, 105-yard days, which is manageable. Given that the Raiders are having trouble moving the ball. Again, you know, some of this with Terrell Williams and being able to cut him down is because Renfrow's been hurt. That is, once again, very underrated injury. I liked what he was doing. He was coming on. This offense was, you know, doing really well. They were starting to flourish. They were starting to hit their stride. And then, you know, he gets injured in that Jets game. They really didn't have an answer for anything the Chiefs were throwing at them. But I do think they'll bounce back this week. And then lastly, I mentioned before, but the negative 0.2 turnovers per game, being on the negative side, and then on top of that, giving up 76 yards of penalty yardage, that's got to be cut back. It's indicative of a young team. Usually I blame coaching for that. I don't believe that Gruden's the issue there. I think it's just a young team kind of coming along. But, you know, to beat the Titans, you're going to have to play sound football. You can't do that. Now let's move over into the fantasy and daily fantasy projections. Quick note here. Let me flash this logo on the screen here. So I met these guys at a conference. It's Fantasy Go, and I really like what they're doing. Now, they're not a sponsor, so I want to make that clear. They're not paying me to say this. So I met them at a conference. It's called the Midwest Fantasy Football Conference. It's actually pretty cool if you're in the area. It's out of Canton, like, you know, in the summer. But I met these guys, and I talked to them. They basically developed an app to help with fantasy football stuff. I think it's cool. If you like to play daily fantasy, it's not only football, by the way. They have baseball and basketball as well. If you like to play daily fantasy, it's almost like having like a concierge service. The reason I was talking to them is I might do some analysis for them next year. I don't have the bandwidth this year, but it's cool. Like as a user, you can chat with the person, you know, the expert. It's all industry known people. You know, Fantasy Footballers is out there. I think, you know, they got some other guys from the conference. I think, you know, the Ball Blasters, like there's a ton of people, very recognizable people and very well respected people. Check them out. Go to fantasygo.com. I think they're doing a free trial this week, and they might even be doing free for the rest of the season or something. I can't remember. remember, but check it out, and I think it's cool. But anyway, let's get to the actual fantasy football stuff. My projections, which are, by the way, free. If you're not familiar with RoccoBot, it's my daily fantasy computer projection. I don't always agree with RoccoBot, but we'll talk about it as we get there. Tannehill is actually rated as a definite start, couple touchdowns, and my number one quarterback rated of the week so far, interestingly enough, and I think it's because, you know, Oakland has been having some trouble shutting down the passing game. Derrick Henry, I think, has a great game. I don't love Deion Lewis. I don't love Corey Davis. I don't love A.J. Brown. But I mentioned before, kind of in those paths to victory, but I think for Tennessee, you know, stretch them deep, but also hit your running backs out of the flats. They're going to be loading the box, so use those run blitzes against the Raiders. Deion Lewis could get a couple of targets, but I'd like to see Derrick Henry involved in the screen game a little bit more than he usually is. A.J. Brown, Adam Humphries, these are all pedestrian numbers for me. I think he could go hit or miss. Jonnu Smith, I think, will have a very nice game at tight end. And then the defense and special teams for the Titans, I actually like them quite a bit as well. It is an 8.2. I think they're actually a top five projection. Basically, long story short, ever since Tannehill got in, he's extending more drives. The Titans have more time to rest. They play with a little bit more speed, a little bit more passion on defense, with the offense kind of picking them up every now and then. So I like them, and I have liked them the last couple weeks, and it served me well in daily fantasy. The Raiders, fantasy football projections. Derek Carr, I think, is a start. I think he's going to beat this projection of a 16. I think he'll get you a couple touchdown passes. Josh Jacobs, a definite start. Jalen Richard, like I said before, I think he's going to be a little bit more of a factor with Hunter Renfrow out. I think they have to use him, so he's a nice daily fantasy budget play for me. Terrell Williams, I think he beats this projection, but he does need some help from Zay Jones, Keelan Doss, or whoever. Darren Waller, I like at a 16.3. I do like Foster Moreau on the goal line, but I'd like to see him more involved too. I feel like the Raiders kind of have to go more to tight end. Given that Renfro's out, because you have to own the middle of the field. Renfrow was that guy. You got to find somebody else. And, teams are doing a really decent job of trying to take Waller away since Renfro's been out. And I think the way to counteract that, in my opinion, is with Foster Moreau. Lastly, defense and special teams. I don't have this as a great projection for the Raiders, mainly because I don't see them getting a ton of sacks against Ryan Tannehill. And, an extra sack or two here, that suddenly they'd be at a 9.6. So you can see why. So there you go. That takes me through this episode. The game plan. Check us out. We're going to be doing I'm hoping to do about six of these this week, but we'll definitely have the first three out on Friday, including the Baltimore-Buffalo game and the San Francisco-New Orleans game. And then maybe on Saturday we'll be releasing, Giants, Eagles, Kansas City, New England, maybe somebody else as well. Check it out. Thanks, as always, everybody, for watching, and we'll catch you on another episode soon. All right, and we're back with podcast. Now, before we get rolling with the Bills and Ravens, I just want to talk a little bit about our friends at betonline.ag. As usual, NFL is in full swing. As we know, we're in the last quarter of the season, huge games just week by week. Every time there's a great matchup with playoff implications, so that's great. NBA action is in full swing. I know the college football season's kind of winding down, but in December, the bowl season swings back up. Everything is heating up. Visit our good friends and exclusive partners of Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign up bonus. I love about six of the matchups this week. We just talked about Tennessee and Oakland. I think the winner of that game goes to the playoffs. We have New England versus Kansas City, huge game. Bills versus the Ravens, huge game. San Francisco versus New Orleans, huge game. LA versus Seattle, huge game. Just huge games. I love everything out there. Once again, visit our friends at betonline.ag. And don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Now, everybody, let's just get moving with the Bills and Ravens game plan video. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Game Plan. This episode is all about the Baltimore Ravens versus the Buffalo Bills, two teams in the thick of the playoff race, the number one seed versus the number five seed as it stands in the playoffs right now. If you're new to the show, here's what I do. I quickly break down the key injuries for both teams. I quickly break down the key stats, the key analytics. Sometimes I call those gambler stats, and we'll talk about them then. I will put those together and put together a game plan, a path to victory for both the Bills and the Ravens individually, and then we'll clean it up with some daily fantasy and fantasy football projections at the end of the show. Just a reminder to everybody, I do not root for or root against any team in the NFL. I do not care. I'm just a football analysis guy. I like to bet on football. I like to play daily fantasy. So I come from this purely as an honest, here's my analysis point of view. So if you think I'm biased, I'm not. I'm not pro anybody. I'm not anti anybody. I just love football. And I love this matchup, actually. I was thinking the Ravens, you know, looking at this matchup, I thought, Ravens -6, you know, according to the spread. I was like, yeah, I like the Ravens. When I started digging into the matchup, it's a lot more interesting. So respect to the Bills and kind of what they're doing. We'll talk about that in a bit. Before we get rolling, please, if you could give me 2 seconds of your time for 2 clicks, a like and a subscribe. Help us grow this channel. We are now a YouTube partner. Thanks, everybody out there, for your continued support through the season. We have a lot of new cool stuff coming out, so please keep the likes and subscribes coming. We appreciate that. But let's move it on now with no further ado. To the injuries. For the Ravens, you see Marquise Brown, I think he'll play. Seth Roberts, I think he'll play. And then you got a couple of linebackers, cornerbacks, and guys that are questionable. It's okay to see some questionables at this point. And I have to say, I've seen some other injury lists. This is a pretty clean sheet for the Ravens, you know, given where they are today. Now, the Bills, you have basically their left guard questionable. They're going to need their left guard this game. Okay, so I think he'll play, but that's a pretty clean sheet for him as well. As far as injuries go, you know, I wouldn't give a nod to any team. Assuming Marquise Brown plays, I think he has to play to basically kind of stretch the secondary there, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Now, let's talk about the key stats. These are in terms of yardage accumulated throughout the year. The Ravens, and I do position group versus position group, so we see the Ravens have the 25th best passing offense versus the third ranked passing defense of the Bills. Vice versa, the Bills ranked 23rd in passing offense versus the 13th ranked passing defense for the Ravens. Now, if you look at the run game, these are running teams. Ravens, no surprise, they are first. The Bills are fifth. The run defense for the Ravens is sixth compared to the 14th ranked run defense. So if I'm looking at these in terms of yardage accumulation, look, you know, when you see a third ranked passing defense versus a 25th ranked passing offense, The truth of the matter is Lamar Jackson is so talented as a runner that he hasn't had to throw for 200, 300 yards per game. He just hasn't had to. And that really is another reason why this run offense, I should say, is so good. I was surprised to see how good the Ravens rank in terms of running defense. They're improving there, and their pass defense is improving well. You know, this defense is playing more and more like what we're used to or accustomed to seeing recent Ravens teams being. Ever since that Marcus Peters trade, this team has really just kind of done a 180 defense. They figured some things out. Now, the Bills have a very, very good defense. I think they give up the fewest amount of points in the league per game other than maybe the Patriots. Actually, they might be third behind the Patriots and the 49ers. But either way, they're under 16 points per game given up. The Ravens score about 33 points per game. So it's the unstoppable force and the immovable object. We'll see what happens. But it's a fun one to kind of break down. Let's move it over to the key analytics, the gambler stats. The reason I call them gambler stats is because gamblers like to look at yards per play, offensive efficiency in key situations, third and fourth down. Can you score in the red zone once you get there? And how disciplined are you? You're turning the ball over. You're giving up a lot of yards and penalties. Let's look through the yards per play. The Ravens, 6.3 yards per play, which is insane. Compared to the Bills, who give up under 5 yards per play, which is also insane. Very, very good. A net, if you average these things out, you're looking at Ravens 5.4 yards per play, which is a healthy yardage. Now, if you look at the Ravens defense versus the Bills offense, very interesting. You see that the Ravens give up 5.6. The Bills get about 5.5. So that's about even there. So if you take a composite, if the Bills can basically slow that tough Ravens offense down, you're looking at a yards per play, which is actually really, really close yards per play wise. So I kind of throw that out the window. If I'm looking at this from a betting point of view, an analysis point of view, I throw it out the window. Yes, I know the Ravens are good, are great offensively, best offensively, but you know the Bills are pretty darn good at defense. Let's not sleep on this team, okay? Then you look at third down conversions, fourth down conversions. You see the Ravens converting 48% of third, 75% ridiculous of fourth downs, and they're also aggressive on fourth downs, which I like. Now the Bills, they're only getting 38% on third down offensively, 42%. So that goes towards the Ravens, which you would expect. The Ravens are my number one team in my power rankings. I think Bills are like 9 or 10 or something like that. So yeah, I mean, the Ravens are a better team where they are right now, but they haven't played the Bills yet, okay? And to be fair, the Bills have not played the Ravens yet. Let's look at red zone percentages. You know, teams that can run the ball like these two teams do, they always do well in terms of getting touchdowns. Both of them are about two-thirds, give or take. You see that the Ravens get about 67.4. The Bills, 63% of the time they get in the red zone, it's touchdowns. But if you look at defensively, the Ravens are actually better in the red zone defensively in terms of forcing field goals, which you wouldn't have expected if you looked at these defenses and the scoring averages coming into the game. Now, what you're seeing is I think the Bills get off the field a little bit more than the Ravens do, and that's why they give up less yards per game. But Again, slight advantage because I do think that the Ravens will get into the red zone. They move the ball, and I think the Bills will get in. I think you give that slight advantage to the Ravens once more. And then turnover margin, you see both teams on the plus side, which is what you want to see. The Ravens slightly better at 0.7 turnovers per game in terms of a turnover margin. So they're a plus 0.7. Bills are at a plus 0.2. And then I think the difference in the penalty yardage is negligible. You're looking at basically, you know, one full start penalty and difference, a 5-yard difference, is not that big of a deal. All right, so let's look at the path to victory for the Baltimore Ravens. First of all, run Lamar, run like you have, run with reckless abandon, run to daylight. He's so dynamic. It's like watching a better version of RG3's rookie season. He's fantastic. So run him as well as running Mark Ingram up the middle. The Buffalo Bills, if you're going to attack this defense, the best way to do it, in my opinion, is just slam a talented running back up the middle. And Mark Ingram can do that. And then certainly Lamar Jackson can run off tackle and run to the sideline. Marquise Brown, I like his matchup this week. He could have a big day. Now, Buffalo's going to have, we'll talk about him in a little bit with Buffalo, but he's got to open things up over the top. Then you guys have guys like Willie Snead or Seth Roberts. I think they can work deep intermediate of the field. And what all that will do is stretch, vertically stretch this Buffalo Bills defense so that Mark Andrews can work his magic over the top. So I think the key, I guess, tactically speaking, is running with Mark Ingram and then hitting Mark Andrews. And I don't think that's any secret. That's what Baltimore wants to do. But that plays to actually the Buffalo Bills' favor. So how do you neutralize what the Buffalo Bills are doing? Once again, you got to open them up over the top. I think Marquise Brown on the sidelines, and then Snead and Roberts basically running posts, deep seams, like all that kind of stuff. You got to get those deeper so that the safeties drop back and it opens up basically that window, that 10-yard window past the linebackers and below the safeties. That's how you win the game, I think. Then lastly, I mentioned Andrews. He's drawing a tough matchup. The Bills are very good. This Buffalo Bills defense is really good. The only thing that always gives me pause is the first time you see a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who's so freaking fast, you just can't prepare for it. You can know schematically. You can say, hey, we understand the read. You can say all that stuff. But until you experience the speed of a guy like Lamar Jackson, you cannot prepare for it. You just can't do it. So the Bills are going to have to basically learn on the fly. And you know, Andrews, although he draws a tough matchup, you know, on the red zone, they're actually, the Bills are giving up more touchdowns to that secondary tight end. So I like Boyle as a daily fantasy, possibly budget play. I like Hayden Hurst, and I think those guys will be there. But like I said, I think the key to Andrews isn't so much can he beat his guys in coverage. It's can the wide receivers stretch the field vertically enough for him to get room. The next for the Buffalo Bills defensively for the game plan, Josh Allen, I think he has to give the Baltimore Ravens a dose of their own medicine, meaning I want to see Josh Allen run the ball. Now, he's not as fast as Lamar Jackson, but he is a bit more powerful, in my opinion, and I think he can get it done. And I think the Bills are going to need him to run the ball. Use Singletary in the flats. I love Devin Singletary. I don't think they're using him enough. I don't think we've even seen and scratched the surface of what Devin Singletary can be in the NFL, and that's a good thing for Buffalo. It's a good problem to have, but they are going to need to use him in the flats and use him more as a receiver. And when I say use him more, I'm talking about, like, you know, getting like 10 targets this game. They're going to need to throw the ball to him to get into second and manageable, third and manageable situations. Next on the list, contain Lamar Jackson. You can't really stop him, but don't give him the sideline. If he's going to run the ball, make him run tough yards up the middle. Give him some hits. Make him run off tackle on the read option. Just don't give him the sideline. Next, win coverage with Marquise Brown. I think they're going to have to cover him one-on-one, and they're going to have to bottle him up. They cannot give him deep balls down the sideline. They have to do well. If Marquise Brown is drawing double coverage or he's drawing safety, basically their attention, then it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day for the Buffalo Bills, because then you can start to work the middle of the field with Mark Andrews, as I was saying. And then I think the Bills, to win this game, need to take at least one possession away. And I don't mean a turnover. That could be it, but I mean flip the field. That could be being aggressive on fourth down and, you know, going through and getting the fourth down. Flip the field at least one time, possibly twice, and I think that that the Buffalo Bills will be in really good shape to at least cover the spread, but to possibly win the game. Let's close this show out with some fantasy football analytics. If you're unfamiliar, RoccoBot is the name I've given my fantasy football computer projections. I don't always agree with RoccoBot, but we'll talk about it if that happens. First and foremost, Lamar Jackson projected at 16.1. RoccoBot respects the Buffalo Bills defense, and while I do as well, I think Lamar Jackson, what he does in the running game, I think he will definitely be over 20 this week. even if the Ravens don't get a lot of touchdowns, he just gets you too many yards rushing the ball. He's definitely going to exceed that expectation, in my opinion. So right off the bat, I disagree with Rocobot. I do think Ingram's a great play. I think he'll do well. Gus Edwards, I think he'll exceed these based on what I'm seeing in the play charts. I think that the Buffalo Bills could give up some yardage, and I do think the Ravens are going to continuously run the ball. So Gus Edwards, I do think he'll exceed this expectation a little bit. Marquise Brown, Snead, Roberts, I don't like the projections. I think they're sits. We mentioned Marquise Brown. I think tactically speaking, even if he doesn't have a big game, they can just keep taking deep shots to the Baltimore Ravens. And if they have to draw the attention of the safety and, you know, draw double coverage to make sure he doesn't get a deep ball, that's only going to help things underneath. So that's not even a bad thing. So tactically, I think he's still a very, very important piece in this, although fantasy-wise, I have him as a sit. Mark Andrews, 8.4. That's kind of, you know, that's almost fringe start, fringe bench. Now, I would start him anyway on my fantasy team just because of the potential there. But if you're a daily fantasy player, Nick Boyle, I think, is a nice budget play for you. Defense and special teams, I like what the Ravens are doing. You know, they could get some turnovers from Allen, although he's been playing very well as of late and holding on to the ball. You know, they've had basically an extra half week thanks to that Thanksgiving game to game plan. I think that the turnovers will be limited, but I do think the Ravens will get some sacks, and I do think that their defense is definitely worth a start this week. Now, for the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, I think that projection is pretty close to on the nose as far as I'm concerned. I like that projection. Frank Gore, Devin Singletary. Now, like I said before, Singletary has to be more involved in the passing game for the Buffalo Bills to have a chance here. So I think Singletary will exceed this expectation by Mr. Rocobot. John Brown is a definite start, obviously. Isaiah McKenzie, I didn't read this point, but Isaiah McKenzie is going to have an opportunity deep against the Ravens at some point in this game. Allen has to hit him. That's a big deal. Isaiah McKenzie, potential-wise, I think he could be a nice daily fantasy play for you if you're looking for a budget play. Cole Beasley, you got to have him work in the seams, so you're working Devin Singletary in the flats. You're working Cole Beasley over the middle from the slot, and again, that opens things up for John Brown deep. It opens things up for, you know, guys like Dawson Knox, who I don't have as a great start this week as well. And then lastly, defense and special teams. I actually don't have, if you're playing the number one scoring offense in the league, you're not going to be projected as a start most of the time. Again, all respect to Buffalo. I think this is going to be a closer than comfortable game for the Baltimore Ravens and their fans. I don't see this as a runaway. It is going to be a very interesting game. I think it's going to be close to the cover. I do take the Ravens in this matchup, and I think most people would, but that's not to say I'm sleeping on Buffalo. I like them. I've liked them all season. Like I said, they're in my top 10. They are 9-3. They have to be taken seriously. I'm certainly taking them seriously, and everybody out there should be taking them seriously as well. It will be a fun game to watch. I will be tuning in. I will have multiple TVs going, and I can't wait to watch this along with the San Francisco-New Orleans game, which we also have a game plan episode about, so check that out as well. Once again, everybody, please like and subscribe. Thanks for watching. We'll be back with more game plans, so check those out as well, and yeah, we'll catch you on another episode soon. Thanks. All right, and I think we're going to save my favorite game the best for last. New Orleans versus San Francisco. In my opinion, this could be a precursor for the NFC Championship game. I think these are actually right now the two best teams in the NFC with all respect to the Seattle Seahawks. I think San Francisco's been banged up for about 3 months. We're going to get to see how these teams match up together, and you know, if we're lucky football fans, we get to see another version of it. So let's go ahead and play that San Francisco versus New Orleans game plan now. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Game Plan. This is all about the San Francisco 49ers versus the New Orleans Saints. A fantastic game. Can't wait to talk about it more with everybody. If you're new to the show, here's what I do. I break down the key injuries. I talk about the key statistics, the key analytics. I sometimes call those gambler stats, and we'll explain them when we get there. We put those together and create a path to victory, a game plan to win for both the 49ers and the Saints, and they're both very, very interesting game plans when I dug deep into these. And then we'll tie this up and we put it all together with a fantasy football, daily fantasy projection for both teams of the key players. Now, I want to remind everybody of two things. One, before we get started, I'm not a fan of either of these teams. I don't, you know, have a dog in this fight. I don't have any bias, positive or negative, of these teams. I just enjoy breaking down football games. That's what I do. Second, before we get rolling here, if you could give me 2 seconds of your time for two clicks, a like and a subscribe. We're really continuing to try to grow this thing. We're a YouTube partner now, which is awesome. Thank you for the support out there, everybody. But we're working on some really cool stuff after the NFL NFL season, debuting a couple new shows, getting more personalities on here. Very, very cool. Once again, thanks for everybody's support. And once again, please like and subscribe. But let's start this episode, as I always do, with the key injuries. And I have to say, you know, San Francisco has a lot of names on this list, but this is honestly probably the healthiest I've seen them in about 2 months. Seriously, as good as this 49ers team is, they're 10-2. Their two losses were on the last plays of the game, basically, to Seattle in overtime and in Baltimore last week. Look, this is a very good game, very good team. I don't love that their defense is banged up, but I think a lot of these guys are questionable, and their offensive line is healthy, finally. George Kittle is going to be he's going to be questionable for the rest of the season, but I think he's going to play. The Saints, meanwhile, Armstead, you got Pete, the left guard, he was out. I think that's a big injury. We'll talk about that in a bit. Kiko Alonso and Klein, I think those are big injuries, and we'll talk about them in a bit. We're talking game tactics. I'll get to that during the game plan. Let's look at the key stats here, and I do these in terms of yardage accumulation, just basically, how many passing yards do you have, how many running yards do you have, and I put position group versus position group. So you see at the top of the list there, we have the passing offense of the 49ers ranked 16th versus the 17th ranked passing defense of the Saints. Then you have the 9th ranked passing offense of the Saints versus the 1st ranked passing defense of the 49ers. Run offense is 2nd versus 3rd defense for the Saints, and then vice versa, you have the 17th ranked run offense versus the 22nd ranked run defense for the 49ers. I'm surprised they're that low, but hey, when your passing defense is that good, you know, the teams have to attack you some way, and it just happens to be running. If I look at this and I'm looking for advantages, what do I see? I think that as good as the Saints passing offense has been, and credit, of course, Drew Brees, credit Michael Thomas, who's a monster, but when you look at this team, they basically have Michael Thomas, they have Jared Cook sometimes, you have Alvin Kamara in the backfield, and you have a lot of scheme. And that scheme, I got to say, Coach Payton's doing a hell of a job this year. There are going to be other coaches that are going to be talked about for Coach of the Year, but Payton is doing a hell of a job, in my opinion. We'll talk about the tactics a little bit later. I do favor the 49ers defense more than the very talented Saints passing offense, but again, I'll talk about that in a bit. Running-wise, I do think the Saints can run on the 49ers, but I think they have to do it a certain way, a way that they don't generally utilize, but we'll talk about that as well. And I think the San Francisco running offense versus the third-ranked run defense, very interesting matchup. That defensive line for New Orleans could hold the game in the palms of their hands. They need to get it done this week. Let's move on to the key analytics here. Now, I call these analytics because gamblers, professional gamblers, they like to use these stats. And of course, there's always a lot more that goes into it. But these are kind of the key drivers. Yards per play, both offensively and defensively. How efficient are you in key situations such as third and fourth down, offensively and defensively? And of course, in the red zone, can you punch it into the end zone and get a touchdown, or are you taking field goals? Lastly, we have what I call basically your discipline metrics. Do you take care of the ball, and are you decent in terms of penalty yardage against? So let's talk about these. You see 49ers, they gain per play 5.8 yards per play, and they give up 4.3 defensively. That 4.3 number is incredible. A net of the 49ers of 1.5 yards per play if you compare their offense versus defense. Now the Saints, meanwhile, they get offensively 5.8, they give up 5.1 for a net of 0.7. That's also very good. It's just not astronomically good like we see from the 49ers. Now if you compare these back and forth, you see the 49ers are at a plus 0.7 offensively, and you see that the Saints are, I guess, at a plus 1.5, but if you merge these two together, you could consider, basically the 49ers are going to offensively get about 4.5 yards per play, give or take, and you can see the Saints are probably more like at about a 5, again, if you're just taking straight averages. You look at the key, third down, fourth down conversions. I think both of these teams, 40s, low to mid 40s, defensively, they're both very good at getting off the field. No surprise there, these are two 10-2 teams, right? The New Orleans Saints are now the number one seed. Last week, the 49ers were the number one seed. Now they are the number five seed. Can you believe it? They dropped 4 spots and they're 10-2. They might be the best ever 5 seed in the playoffs. Seriously, they're incredible. Fourth down conversions, you see kind of similar stats there. I will say the 49ers defense is better at getting off the field on fourth down than Saints have been, and they've been better at pushing drives forward. So what that means is at the end of the game, right, if the Saints need to score, and it's four down territory or something like that, I think it's more likely that the 49ers get the Saints off the field than if the situation is reversed and 49ers need to score, They are more likely to extend the drive in the fourth down. I think this is going to be a very close game, so that is actually a pretty key stat for me. Whoever takes the lead into the fourth quarter, I kind of favor there. Turnover margin, both teams are on the plus side. The Saints doing a little bit better at plus 0.9. I got to say, I'm surprised that the Saints are giving up 68 yards in penalty. That's not a great stat to me, but you know, it's not much worse than the 49ers, so it's fine. Let's talk about path to victory, because tactically, you know, I looked at the play charts all season, as I do when I put together my my daily fantasy football metrics. I look at, you know, the position grouping, look at rankings and all this stuff. Let's start with the 49ers. Look, Michael Thomas is the key to the passing game. He's so good, and Drew Brees is so accurate. They're going to get him passes. As good as the San Francisco 49ers defense is, Michael Thomas, you can't shut him down entirely. I just don't believe it's going to happen, okay? So he's going to get it, but I think they're going to limit him, not shut him down, but limit him. And I think that's a key to the game. Obviously, you can't have him going for two touchdowns. You'll lose the game that way. Kamara is going to be used. I think he's going to be used more off tackle and out of the backfield. And I think the 49ers will take their lumps with that. I just don't think they want to have any of the other, you know, guys that probably need to step up for New Orleans to step up. So I think they'll take their medicine there, and they'll probably try to guard the interior of that defensive line. Test the New Orleans Saints secondary deep. We know what the New Orleans Saints run defense is like, third in the league. They're very good. They're very talented. Hardly anybody ever I talk to them about them every week, but I never hear anybody else talk about them. They're very, very good. And then the secondary, you got to test them deep, because you don't want linebackers starting to crowd up in coverage. You don't want safety start to come up to the box. You know that the 49ers are going to run the ball. They will establish the run. Their offensive line is very good, and they're healthy again. But I do believe Garoppolo is going to have to test this secondary deep and keep them honest, okay? Next to last, I like how the Saints secondary matches up against San Francisco, but they're banged up at linebacker. Now, throughout the season, I think they've done a very good job of covering linebackers, but with two of their linebackers out, I do think Kittle needs to step up, and I do think he'll need to win this battle. I'd need to see Kittle have about 80 to 100 yards of receiving this week to feel good about the 49ers and the stat sheet after the fact. Lastly, I think the Saints' defensive strength lines up well with what the 49ers want to do. Matchup-wise, I think it comes down to Debo and Emmanuel Sanders winning their matchups. I don't know who Lattimore is going to be on, in my opinion. Let's just move over to the Saints, because this is kind of a combined point. In my opinion, Debo Samuel is helping this offense move at this point. I think, and yes, I know Emmanuel Sanders has been banged up, and that's an issue as well, but so has Debo Samuel. I think Lattimore matches up against Samuel. I think that's what I would do. We'll see what happens, okay? But either way, you know, I think these guys for the 49ers have to win the day there. Now, let's talk about the Saints. Control the line of scrimmage defensively, as I was talking about before. Emmanuel Sanders, I mentioned, but like I said, Debo Samuel seems to be more important, so that's why I say match up Lattimore on him. Involve Latavius Murray. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I do think the Saints are going to have to attack the San Francisco defensive line with the run game. The teams that have had the most success against San Francisco this year have had a power running game, and I believe the Saints are going to have to basically involve Latavius Murray. Now, that's not a shot at Alvin Kamara by any means. What I'm saying is have Alvin Kamara work off tackle, have him work in the flats, have him work as a receiver, and just punish Latavius Murray and that San Francisco defensive line. Just run him up the middle and just tire them out as best as you can. I don't have Kamara taking those snaps. Those are down and dirty snaps. I want to keep Kamara fresh for other options. Now, I usually hate when Taysom Hill comes in, and I especially hate when he comes in and they move Drew Brees to the sideline and Drew Brees just doesn't move, because of course he doesn't want to get hit, and why would you? I think Taysom Hill adds another layer to this team. I do think they should sprinkle him in, but when they do it, and I say this, if you're going to do it, then do it. Take Brees off the field in that situation. I'm sorry, but if you have Brees against the San Francisco defense that's just going to be flying around to the ball, you can't play 10 on 11. If Brees is out there, they're not going to have to respect him. He's not going to go out for a route. And believe me, if I'm the 49ers defense, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I would just crash. I don't know why other teams don't do this. I would just crash. And you know what? If they do have the stones to throw the ball to Drew Brees 10 to 15 yards down the field, have your free safety take a shot on Drew Brees. I would love that if I was a defense. I would give up those 15 yards in that one play, because they won't do it again after that, I can tell you that. Now, the New Orleans Saints, take them off the field, man. If you have Taysom Hill, you know, run some read option you know, put another receiver in there. Go 11 on 11. And Taysom Hill's talented. So if you're going to do it, do it. Don't have Breeze on the sideline just not running a route. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. And I like Peyton. I gave him love at the beginning of the show, but that's dumb. And it's not going to work against San Francisco, I can tell you that. Lastly, I think Jared Cook needs to win his matchup. It's tough to attack the San Francisco defense. That's why I was saying you have to really kind of take your lumps in the running game, tire that defensive line out, take your 3 yards per carry in the first few quarters. Things will start to open up after that. You know, and even having a run game in that that establish of the run helps Michael Thomas both, you know, run his slants and go over the top as well. And by the way, Tre'Quan Smith, Ted Ginn, somebody like that, if you're a Saints fan or if you're an NFL fan, you believe the Saints are going to win this game, it's going to be because a guy like Ted Ginn or Tre'Quan Smith steps up. So if you truly believe that, I suggest playing them in Daily Fantasy, and that's actually a great segue to my fantasy football stats. Let's talk about the 49ers first. Jimmy Garoppolo, this is kind of a fringe start. I think he has to have a nice game to beat the Saints, and I think he will actually have a nice game. I think that I would not start him, though, in my fantasy football lineup. Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, I like both of them. I think Mostert's better, but he doesn't always get the carries, though. I do think Coleman will be involved. It's kind of like a committee hot hand approach. We'll see what happens. Mostert had the hot hand last week. Will he have it another week? I don't know. Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, they're both kind of fringe starts for me, but I would take Deebo Samuel this week. Kendrick Bourne, not a great projection there. George Kittle, I do think you start him, and I do think that is a start-worthy number there. And then defense and special teams, I like San Francisco, and I think they'll get to Drew Brees a couple of times this game. So sacks, I don't know about turnovers, but I think you'll get you some sacks, and that's a big deal. By the way, as we move forward into the New Orleans Saints projections here, RoccoBot is my daily fantasy sports, basically computer projection engine. I don't always agree with RoccoBot, but I'm happy to give these rankings out for free, and if I don't agree, I will tell you why. Now, Drew Brees, here's one I disagree with right here. Drew Brees is projected at 13.4. That's based on the strength of the San Francisco 49ers defense and what they've done to other quarterbacks throughout the year. So that's not a shot on Drew Brees. Let me tell you this. I'm going to overrule RoccoBot. I think he's more in that 18 range, just like we saw Garoppolo. I do think this game's going to be a little bit lower scoring than I think both teams are accustomed to seeing their offenses do. I think both defenses are very, very good, and I think that it'll be an interesting game. Alvin Kamara, I think, is a definite start. Latavius Murray at 2.7. I suspect that Coach Payton is going to be playing Latavius Murray a little bit more, so I think he'll beat that projection. I like Latavius Murray maybe even as a budget play, but I wouldn't play him in my fantasy football playoffs, that's for sure. Michael Thomas, definite start. I mentioned Ginn and Smith. I don't like either of these projections. If you believe in your heart of hearts that the Saints will win, start one of these guys in daily fantasy because it'll be worth it. Jared Cook has to outplay this projection for the Saints to win. And then the defense and special teams for the Saints, I actually like them a little bit more to beat this projection. I think they'll be in the 7-8 range, which is a definite start. So there you go. That takes me through the San Francisco 49ers versus the New Orleans Saints. Huge game, massive game. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be on one of my TVs, I believe, or believe me. So once again, everybody, please like and subscribe. I appreciate your support. The channel appreciates your support. Help Underdog TV grow. As always, we will be back with another episode soon. Check us back. Thanks. All right, now let's just go close out this episode. So we heard Bills, Ravens, we heard Tennessee versus Oakland, and we heard San Francisco versus New Orleans. All games, I think, with massive, massive playoff implications in both conferences. We will once again be back on YouTube. So check us out, youtube.com/theunderdog. For more game plan videos as we progress through the weekend. I do believe that I'm going to make some kind of attempt at a first draft, essentially, of an NFL pregame answer because the pregame shows on network TV suck. So check us out then. Once again, please like, subscribe. I appreciate everybody landing on this podcast. We always appreciate our user feedback, our comments. Follow me on Twitter at @TFS_Sean. If there's a segment or if there's a game in like week 15 that you want me to look through and do a game plan, a deep dive on, let me know. It would be great to hear from you, and I guess we'll check you out on another couple of episodes next week. Check back then. Thanks, everyone.